Hi, this is Jack Humphrey with another edition of Webside Chats. Thanks for joining us today. We have a great guest today, Ronnie or Veronica Noon. Her handle online is Ronnie. Everybody knows her as Ronnie. And she is a hardcore blogger. She is so into this. You guys are going to freak out when you see all the stuff that she's doing. You should get a lot of inspiration out of today's chat. She is so much like everyone else, you know, kids, all of that kind of stuff, and also blogging a lot and doing a lot of things online. Ronnie was an assistant professor of web technology at the Community College of Baltimore County, and for some reason, and we're going to find out, she had all these swanky jobs and everything. Now she's a blogger full-time professionally, so we're going to find out what in the world would pull her away from some of these things. She is the woman behind Ronnie's Way, Greenlight Bites, and blogtolose.com. And we'll include those links here on this podcast as well. And she combines her passion for web development, design, cooking, health, and communication. And blogging is what has given her that outlet. She has a Master's of Science in Industrial Instructional Technology from Bloomberg University, and a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. She consults at Johns Hopkins University and takes small web projects under her company, Skinny Mini Media. So, Ronnie, thanks so much for being here.
Great. I'm so happy to be here. This is fabulous.
Well, so let's just start out with this biggest question everybody's got in their head right now who's listening to this. Why, with all of these different things that you had going on, did you become a professional blogger?
That's a great question. I really kind of fell into it, to be honest. I was happy at my job. I was teaching full-time graphic classes and web classes, and I've always loved technology and web technology and HTML and all of those outlets. And I was enjoying my job, and I got pregnant, like so many of us in our 30s do. And I started blogging for personal reasons. My family lives far away, so I started blogging to share pictures of my son and pregnancy and that kind of thing with grandparents. And I immediately fell in love with this idea of journaling online. And once my son was born, I started to use my blog and my website as a means and an outlet for my weight loss commitment of losing the weight post-baby and losing the weight I was carrying around pre-baby. And really, it snowballed. I started getting regular readers, and I started adding recipes and food photos, and then I realized that this was a way for me to really have complete creative control over what it is that I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
I just fell in love with it.
So as I look around all these different sites, and maybe you can take us on a little bit of a tour here, in audio of your different sites that you have. I remember seeing one, I can't remember where it was, you can help me with that, where you've got a whole bunch of videos, you do a podcast, and I saw some videos with you and your son doing some cooking. Where do we find that? Where is that exactly?
Okay, the way, I actually do podcasts on Ronnie's Way, and most of them is I answer readers' questions in kind of a talking head video format. And then I realized I can kind of strip the audio out of them and publish them as podcasts. Those are found on Ronnie's Way.
And Ronnie's Way is ronisweigh.com.
Right, right. Although WAYS should probably work as well.
Oh.
I'm one of those like weird people that buy every misspelling of my own domain name.
Oh, well, it's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah,
actually.
I have, I think, four spellings of Greenlight Bite, knowing that the way I wanted to spell it wouldn't be the way that most people might think of spelling it.
Well, and if you're going to be on all of these podcasts where people can't see the URLs, that's a very good thing to do. Because
right.
I bet people are typing in the wrong URL right now.
Doing a play on words like way,
right.
Way, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I saw some really cool stuff. The kid was working the chopper for garlic or tomato or something,
right.
And I know that stuff is well received. I don't even have to ask, because I know that if you've got fans and you decided to do that, you wouldn't continue doing it if they weren't responding. So tell me a little bit about that aspect, and then maybe you can tell me a little bit about what your content focus is and what you would consider out of all of these spots your main spot for people to get connected with you.
Okay. The funny thing is, I think most of what I do kind of, and the only way I can express it is it organically evolves. So, for example, I started journaling daily, kind of my own weight loss problems and torments and, you know, getting mad because I can't have a slice of pizza or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of moved to people responding to that, and then I realized that they had questions, and I started responding to those questions. I started sharing my ideas, and a lot of those ideas revolved around food. And then I saw an opportunity to kind of separate the weight loss aspect of my blogging with the food aspect, because I really thought that there'd be two audiences there. Some people are interested in food that may not be necessarily interested in weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may want to hear my perspectives on weight loss, but they don't like to cook, you know, so they may not be interested in the food. So I broke away and created Greenlight Bites. And after a few weeks of me sharing my recipe ideas, I thought, you know, maybe I should do, there are a lot of things that are hard to explain via text. I could just show someone how to cut a butternut squash. Why do I have to explain it and with photos and taking a picture? So I did my first video, which was well-received, and it was just me, and I said, here's how you cut a butternut squash. And I think at this point it's been seen about 35,000 times on YouTube, which cracks me up. And every Thanksgiving that comes around, it gets another little burst of
wow.
traffic.
Wow. Now you know that you can go through all the vegetables since that one did so well. And just keep on going, and 35,000 views for everybody.
That's true. So I committed to doing a weekly video on Greenlight Bites. So I really believe that letting your audience know what to anticipate on your blog is a really good way to build a connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they come to your site every day and they don't know what to expect, for some people that may work. For me, I'm trying to build a rapport with my readers and letting them know, you know what, I'm going to do a video every week. I'm going to try to push out two recipes to you a week. So they have a level of anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first few weeks, I didn't have a babysitter. And I said, well, you know what, I'm just going to do this with my two-year-old. So I recorded a video and I'm talking to the camera and I let them know, I go, look, the toddler is going to wander around. Just ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. And so the first video where he appeared, he's literally just walking around the room. He's shaking the camera. He's picking a duster up and getting it in the way. It's hysterically funny.
It's reality TV at its finest.
And truly, truly. And then I decided, why am I not involving him? Because I do involve him off camera. I mean, I'm very, very adamant about involving children in the kitchen. I think it exposes them to different textures and scents, and it's a learning experience. And so I'm thinking, why am I fighting this? I do it anyway. I might as well just include him in the video. So then we started doing videos together. And I thought, what a great way for me to show people how they can involve their kids in the kitchen. And he does everything from cracking an egg to mixing and measuring for me, and we count things. He's not in every video. He's probably in about 65-70% of them. Sometimes I need a break. It gets tiring to manage a three-year-old and cook and talk to a camera at the same time.
Has he become the star? Do your views go down when it's just you?
You know, at first I thought, and a few of my readers have made comments and said that he's stealing the show from me, which is fine. I don't notice a drop in videos that he's not in. I usually warn people and let them know that he's not in one, or that I'll attempt to get him in the next one. And that's what I mean by organic. I don't really pre-plan a lot. If he's around and I'm cooking, I usually get an idea for a video, and then the next day I shoot it. It's not something that's scripted or... So, and my audience knows that about me, and I think that also appeals to them, is that it is real. It really is reality. I just say, you know what, this is what I'm making for dinner tonight, and sometimes I'll just throw the camera on and cook a meal from beginning to end on camera, which I would have cooked if the camera wasn't around anyway.
Mm-hmm. You have this technology background. How hard would you say it would be, based on what you do to produce, upload, and serve these videos, for people who don't have your background? I mean, people will always make excuses. Well, I can't do this because she's got this big techie background and all that stuff, and that's probably why she can shoot good video and get it up and it plays right and all of that. So that's not for me. I couldn't do that. What would you say to those people?
I'd say it's really a good question. And the funny thing is, for especially the video aspect, is I know nothing about video. I literally use my MacBook Pro's camera that's embedded in the laptop. I don't have a standalone camera.
Wow, that's a really good camera. That's a good endorsement for MacBook.
I used to do them on my point click. You know, you get 10 minutes of video on your point click, and then I would take the SD card and plug it in. And then I realized, why am I taking that extra step? So for all the non-technical people out there, if you can see behind the scenes, I literally have a pile of phone books on top of a stock pot with my MacBook sitting on top, and I talk directly into iMovie. And if anyone uses the Mac, they know how easy iMovie is. I edit the video literally by just chopping off the first 3 seconds and the last 3 seconds of me turning on and off the camera, and then I just hit share, and I get an MP4 that I upload into Vidler or YouTube, and I mean it's as simple as that.
Well, that's what I suspected because. That's otherwise I'd have to edit it out. If you got real technical and said, well, all I do is use this MP4 software and do all this editing and blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, then I would just leave it because, but I had a feeling there was probably some phone books or something involved with a camera and all of that kind of stuff. So,
it's very low tech.
Yeah. I want people to hear is I think a lot of people scare themselves out of doing this higher end content. Everybody can write. And so if you're going to compete on just a writer's level with other people who are competing with the same viewers or listeners or whatever, then you have to really excel. You have to have a great idea. You have to have a way of coming across, a personality, a character. But you can immediately set yourself apart from most of the competition because most people won't do what you're doing. And, because I think they're scared of it in one sense. And I think that they're also thinking, well, if I do figure it out, it's going to be a lot of work. But you've just clearly demonstrated it doesn't have to be that much work.
No, I mean, if I take yesterday as an example, I did a video yesterday. In the morning, I recorded my son and I in our pajamas making pancakes. It was a 15-minute video. Later that day, when I had a minute, I literally went into iMovie, chopped off the front and the end, hit share, and then a few hours later, I set the upload up. A few hours later, I had it live. I mean, I do a lot of things through spurts throughout the day. That's just the way my schedule is with having a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to record, edit, and publish a video with 10-minute spurts in one 24-hour period. I mean, it really isn't that difficult.
Yeah. Well, I think people should also pick a little something up here, too, that you're able to do it on a schedule that works with you. And to be able to have a business, basically, that you can have that kind of freedom with. What do you think about that? Would you ever go back to being an employee?
No. And the funny thing is, I'm still coming to terms with this. It'll be a year this June that I quit my full-time job, and mm-hmm. I'm still kind of grappling this idea that I'm a free agent in a way. It's nice, but at the same time, it's almost stressful because I realize that I'm responsible for my own income and that I'm going to get out of it what I put into it. And I'm one of those people that puts in 100%, but it's scary. It's unknown. I don't have benefits. I don't have a steady paycheck and a salary. And I've had that for the last 10 years. So not having that now, I'm still in a weird position where I'm thankful that I have the ability to be able to do what I'm doing, but it also frightens me at the same time.
It's a little weird, yeah. And it affects a lot of people that way, I think. From the people that I've talked to, it's kind of the same stuff. In one hand, you're going, wow, this is really awesome. I can do this. Does anybody else in the world know about this? Because I bet a lot more people would not be going to their cubicles if so, or at least trying. But then I realized probably a couple of years ago that, when I was shaking my fist in the air and telling everybody, do you guys not hear me? This is so awesome. And for all of these different reasons. And I started to realize that I was just a tad different than most people. And entrepreneurs in general they're just different kinds of people who will start their own thing and do things like what you're doing. You know, and you seem probably right in the middle there, actually, with one foot in both areas, kind of wondering, wow, you know, will this last, or, you know, when is the next check coming, or all of that kind of stuff. But you still, you know, you're still doing it. And obviously, you're erring on the side of being that independent free agent person. But a lot of people do have trouble, you know. It's a hard adjustment.
I think it comes down to, like you said before, I love, when you love what you do. Like, if someone asked me, and I actually posted about this not that long ago, and it was somewhere I read about being successful, and the question was, if someone would offer you $1 million to stop doing what you were doing, would you stop? And if your answer is no, well, then you found what you're supposed to be doing. And my answer is definitely no. Like, I love what I'm doing that much that I wouldn't stop. And that I actually find a little bit of comfort in, because I know I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
So I can tell everybody about this interview. Meet the woman who turned down $1 million to... I'll put a little asterisk next to that and say, not a million real.
If someone offer me $1 million, they can really put me to the test, maybe.
Yeah, it would still be nice to say you were, you know, the offer was made. Boy, that would do something for readers. Well, let's get to that point. I don't think we can cover every single thing that you've got going on, which is a cool thing, but not, because I would like to get into more of all of these different things. But for our listeners, you know, they're a group of people who are just starting out with blogging, or people who have been blogging for several months, maybe over a year, and are listening to pick up tips from other successful bloggers. You've clearly got a good following and all that kind of stuff. And so we try to find out from you, from your perspective, your experience, which is unique to anyone else's, how you've built this. When did you started a year ago doing it professionally? Were you doing it before that while you were still working?
Yes, I was. I started it literally the year my son was born, so that was 2005, and it has evolved over the course of the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Again, it started small. I did weekly posts, and then I started to become obsessed around the same time that I realized I had a few loyal readers. And, you know, when I say a few, you know, under 100. And I thought, well, this is nice. I can write to these people. I can write, share my thoughts and my ideas. You know, posting weekly turned into posting daily. It turned into posting on different topics. Like I said, food and recipes, still weight loss motivation. Then I separated into multiple blogs. So it's not like one day I woke up and said, oh, I'm going to blog today. I'm going to start my new blogging business. It was really more of a very organic process that just started from me having a very personal goal, which was weight loss, and using the technology and blogs to help me reach that goal kind of propelled these offshoot sites. It really organically evolved is the only word I can use, the only phrase.
Well, the most successful blogs out there are the ones that feel that way, that the readers feel like, you know, there's you have a schedule now, and you have things that readers can expect at certain times during the week. But how that turns out, it's a creative process, as well as it can't be forced, and readers can pick up on that stuff, you know. And
I agree, and actually most of the time I find I have to strike a balance between what my readers expect and then what I'm actually inspired to do. For example, I do a feature on Ronnie's Way where I have a question of the week. And my goal with that question is to kind of get people to think about something they might not have thought about before, whether it be health-related or weight-loss-related. And sometimes I just can't come up with a question. Sometimes it's just... And so, like, this week's question, I use my husband as inspiration. So I find that doing features on the blog, one, it gives me kind of context to write in, and it forces me to find inspiration. But mixed in with those are also things that just happen. You know, I may go to the grocery store and find a baked bag of chips, and it inspires me to go, you know what, let me do a post on baked chips and you know, how many calories they have and whatever it may be. So, again, it's organic, but yet the features keep me kind of grounded with topic ideas that I should keep having to put out to my audience.
Right. Okay, so tell me about the first time you hit what you considered a significant benchmark in the number of followers, and what led up to that. Was there a Was there a catalyst for that? Were you linked to by a significant site, or, you know, were you on TV or the radio or whatever? What led up to your what you consider your first big day when your visitorship really went up?
I remember it very well. I haven't been in any other media form, so no TV or newspaper or magazine, but I submitted my weight loss story to MSN probably about a year after I reached my weight loss goal. And I forgot, you know how I enter things or throw my website and things and forget about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I got an email from a high school student or a high school old friend who said, "You're on the front page of MSN." You know, and I was like, "What are you talking about? I had no idea what she was talking about."
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, and this is someone who I haven't spoke to in years. And so I'm actually at the college. I'm teaching. You know, I'm doing office hours. I'm in my office, and I log on to MSN, and there's my weight loss success story being cycled through the main page of MSN's ads, and they did a whole write-up on my weight loss, which was all questions that I answered, forgetting that I answered them. And, you know, of course, they never notified me to let me know that they were going to use the story.
Yeah.
And I had a link in there to at the time, Ronnie's Way used to be Weight Watch and was the domain name, and I had a link in there, and I attributed my weight loss success to blogging about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that day I hit 1,000 readers, and then I was like, wow, I just didn't anticipate that it would ever happen to me. I was just kind of going along with my 200 to 300 readers a day and enjoying the communication and relationship I had with them, and then a huge spike in my traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I retained, you know, a few more loyal readers from that, and I haven't had a spike since. But if you look at the traffic of weight loss blogs, every January, many spike because of weight loss or, you know, resolutions within
right.
the year and that kind of thing. But the MSN article definitely was, you know, my moment where I was like, maybe I have something here. If I can get a few more of these incoming links, that would be great. And that was actually a year before I decided to go full time. So I didn't sustain all of that traffic, you know, long period. It wasn't like I made $1 million that day. It was just kind of a nice event that happened on, you know, the history of my blog.
So how are you doing today stats wise? What's your most popular site, and what kind of daily visits do you get now?
Ronnie's Way is still my most popular. It's my oldest and most popular site. After this New Year's uptake, I guess you could say, I average about 250 page views a month, 250,000 page views a month,
mm-hmm.
Anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 unique visitors a day. Most of them are, if you look at my stats, a lot of my readers are return readers. I have what you call most addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Once they find my site, they like to kind of dive through the archives, because I do have journal entries from the whole weight loss journey. So a lot of people like to go back and see what I had to say when I maybe wasn't as light as I am now. By far, that's my more popular site. And that's the site I spend the most time on, because I really think of it as my personal journal. So if something strikes my fancy and I just want to complain about a bad experience at a fast food restaurant, that's where I do it. It's really an extension of me online. That's where my Twitter feeds are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, so it's really my representation of my being in cyberspace.
Okay.
Greenlight Bites is a close second. Greenlight Bites has been increasing in popularity since I launched it last December.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a little over a year old. I'd say off the top of my head, that site probably makes about 125,000 page views a month at
mm-hmm.
this point, maybe 150. And then Blog to Lose, being it's a community, actually the traffic numbers are a little bit lower, but I'm approaching 2,000 members at this point, which is to me a nice benchmark.
Yeah. So everything's humming along here. What are you monetizing everything the same way, or what's your strategy for all that stuff? Is it just advertising, or are you thinking about coming out, or have you come out with products of your own? Or tell us a little bit more about that.
Right now I'm doing all advertising, and I I belong to Ad Network, so Ronnie's Way and Blog to Lose both are members of Blog Her Ads, which pay based on impression. Like, I always tell people that monetizing a blog almost becomes more work than blogging itself,
mm-hmm.
because I think what works for each blog is completely different.
Right.
So for me, I realized, and I still do use Google Ads on all of my sites. They're usually secondary. They're not my main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found, especially when you have a blog where you do have a lot of addicts or repeat readers, you know, your readers are too savvy to click on a Google ad. They're not there looking for something. They're really there to read your words. So nothing's going to prompt them to click on the ad at the end of an article. So I keep Google ads there for the kind of wayward search engine person that might come by looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized the only way I can truly monetize is impression-based. Because, again, my readers are coming back every day, and they're giving me these impressions, and I have to somehow monetize them. So I really like niche-based ad networks like BlogHer. And I use the same thing on Greenlight Bites. I'm a member of FoodBuzz, which, again, is an impression-based ad network.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a big affiliate person. I always let people know if I'm an affiliate member. I'm one of those people, again, that do this kind of organically. So yesterday, for example, I wrote a post about my day, and I'm writing about my day, and I'm talking about what movies I'm watching with my son or what games we're playing. I'll link to Amazon's entries for those and, you know, hope to make a few wayward sales on Amazon affiliate program.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to take a pretty lax approach. I'm not hardcore hitting the monetizing. I belong to networks. I do affiliates when I can, when it makes sense to me. And I still do, you know, Google ad placements here and there.
Okay. Do you have any products planned? I mean, I can totally see you writing a book.
I don't. I do have a book planned, and my readers have been anxiously awaiting a cookbook, under the name Greenlight Bites, which I had started last year and hit a snag when I lost the file. It's a long story, and it kind of set me back. But my goal is actually to do a book by the end of 2009 that I can offer to readers. And I'll probably do a print on demand, like a Lulu kind of site.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea was then to use that to pitch to publishers, going,
oh, yeah.
You know, look, I did this book already. I sold X number of copies through my websites. There's definitely an audience there. Just think what I can do with, you know, a publisher behind me, kind of thing. But I actually have to write the book first, which is a lot of work.
Yeah.
I also do T-shirts on Zazzle, which I have. I use a lot of phrases on my site. For example, I kind of demoralize the husband and call him the husband. I never use his first name. And the same thing with my child. He's the toddler. So I made the husband shirts and the toddler shirts and, you know, some logo tees and that kind of thing that I sell through Zazzle. But it's a really minor, you know, I had fun making them, and I just think about more of just making T-shirts for myself. And if I sell a few, great. You know, it's not a major part of, not a major income source for me.
Yeah. Okay, well, so we've got traffic, monetization. What kind of social stuff do you do? I know you're in Twitter. I know the answer is going to be organic, but beyond that, what other sites do you use regularly that are important to you, that you also have like outside communities and followers who then, of course, come to your blogs?
Well, I'm a big Twitter and Facebook girl, so I recently decided that if I was going to do this professionally, I was separating my kind of Facebook identity and my LinkedIn identity and that kind of thing from my blogs while I was still working full-time. And then I looked at people like Aaron Rouse, and I thought, you know what? What I noticed about these bloggers who are doing this for a living is that they don't have separate online identities with their own identities. Darren mm-hmm. is Darren, right? I mean, he has the photography blog and he has Pro Blogger, but if you look him up on Twitter, he's Darren. And so I realized that if I really want to do this and I really want to connect to my readers, you know, I have to be who I am in real life on the blog as well. So at that moment, I decided to open up and invite my readers to be Facebook friends, and I invite them, you know, to follow me on Twitter. And I try to follow most people who follow me because I truly believe for me, it's all about communicating with these people and sharing ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two sites that if I'm not blogging or writing, or prepping video or photos, then I'm on Twitter, you know, making chatty conversation about the last episode of Lost, or, you know, I'm sharing and I'm connecting with people that have similar interests as me. And then I'll use Twitter, you know, if I put up a new video or a post, I let my readers know, and then I'll get an influx of people coming in. And what I'm noticing is that some people will follow the RSS to see when my latest posts are out, and some people will just follow me on Twitter and then, you know, click on the links that I provide on Twitter that most of the time are back to my own content.
Okay. Okay, so we've got a picture here of your daily life and how things happen around there, how things turn into posts or video posts, and you know, the kind of crowd that you're reaching and how good your reach is now, and your monetization scheme, the social sites that you use. So with all of this in mind, what have you been thinking about personally? Because nobody can help but think about their resolution for the next year when it comes to their business and things like that. What are your big goals for this year for the sites?
That's such a good question. And that's kind of what I mean by organic. Sometimes I'm going with the flow so much that I don't set goals, which I don't recommend. It's not a really good position to be in. For me, for Greenlight Bites, my goal is definitely to publish the book. Mm-hmm. And do kind of a reader's favorite recipe book and break into new media. I'm really trying, I guess, to break out of, I guess, the blog bubble, and I don't know if you feel this. I feel like sometimes I'm in my own little blog universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, early on, when I first started blogging, be very active on other people's blogs and message boards and, you know, that are in my niche. And I find now that I'm completely self-absorbed with creating my own content.
Yeah.
And it's so time-consuming, and I'm loving what I'm doing, but at the same time, I can feel myself maybe starting to lose touch. So my goal really is to try to get back out and use things like Twitter and Facebook to really connect with people that, so I'm not only about, you know, Ronnie's Way content or writing from my perspective. And I did a lot more guests. I'm doing a lot more guest posts this year. I just wrote 4 guest posts for Diets and Review. I'm just trying to get out of my own blogger bubble. I don't know how to say that.
It's a definite problem for people. All the time. I mean, you can imagine, you know, use Darren again, how wrapped up necessarily he has to be at times in, you know, juggling all the guest posters, juggling his own content, and having such high expectations from so many people in so many different areas. It makes me wonder sometimes how he is able to branch out at the times that he's able to do that. And I think every blogger will get to that point where you have to remind yourself to get back out there. One is for inspiration, because there are people, you know, in your niche who might have just come up with some really great ideas for how they're doing their content, or just how they're marketing themselves, or the networks that they're playing around in that are being successful for them. And, you know, sometimes you wake up, or you feel like you just woke up out of a deep sleep. And you're like, wow, what the heck's going on out there? So you always have to keep up with that stuff. And I know it's a constant pressure to do.
It's a job in and of itself. And the funny thing, I think when you first start blogging, I was very proactive. You know, you're very proactive when you first start blogging. You're on everyone else's blog. You're leaving comments. You're contributing conversations. You're on message boards. And then once your blog hits a certain level of readership and activity, I find that I'm not much now more reactive now,
mm-hmm.
because there's just so many things that are vying for my attention. You know, I read every comment. I want to reply to every comment, but it's just not possible anymore. You know, but I don't want to lose touch at the same time. I want to keep that same level of approachability for my readers. But that movement from being proactive to reactive, I think, is something that happens to bloggers as they continue and evolve and become bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Well, you get to the benefit of a survey. Every time you post, you got your readers reacting, and you can tell when the reaction is low. It probably means they weren't as turned on by that post as other things. So you're getting that kind of feedback in the little universe that you've created. And it's not a bad thing if your creativity is flowing. It's if you get stagnant and you just don't, you know, you have more than one day in a row or two or three days in a row that you just don't feel it. You're like, I can't even think of why I would, you know, shoot a video of cutting a vegetable up right today. Right. I don't even know what vegetable I would do. And, you know, and then it really helps then to be connected out there or just to go, you know, it's so easy to get out of it because all you have to do is get back to your old ways and just go surf, allow yourself to surf and
right.
enjoy that.
Actually, it's true that you bring that up because sometimes I was just going to say, you know what, that never happens to me. I feel like I always have some idea to do. But then if I really sit back and think about it, a lot of my ideas come from my readers mm-hmm. and I respond to them. And so someone may drop a bug in my ear and go, you know, I don't really know how to use spaghetti squash. Oh, great idea. Let me do a video on spaghetti squash. So I find that I'm getting, because I may not be outside of my little blogosphere, but I'm very in tune with my readers, and they really do guide my content. And because I listen to them and I am reading all of those comments, then it automatically gives me material for my next few posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respond to it. And actually, opening yourself up for questions on a blog, when I added the Ask Ronnie feature, and I added it to Ronnie's Way, and I added it to Greenlight Bites, I just ask my readers if they have any questions, and that provides so many outlets for ideas for posts and videos. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the final thing that we like to do, and this is going to be so easy for you because you're an instructor, teacher, lesson plans on the off the top of your head, it should be no problem, right?
Gosh, I don't know. Now I'm nervous.
Well, we always try to ask people, you know, considering the audience, considering the listeners, and a lot of them are just starting out or in some beginning stages of having a blog. And harking back to what you did when you were just starting your blog, and also one really important thing that came up on this interview, which you talked about submitting things and almost forgetting all the time where you had submitted stuff. And then one of those things happened to be MSN, and all of a sudden it shows up. That's different than what a lot of people have talked about. A lot of people would talk about social media and I like, you know, search engine optimization, how to get your keywords in the search engines. But you're the first person out of all these interviews that's brought up, you know, that you were submitting to a lot of different places and all of a sudden one of them just took off and that it was your first big day. So maybe you could put, given that audience and given that they're all wanting the same thing, they want to get recognized, they want people to see their content, become followers, regular readers, things like that. What are one or two things, or three or 50 if you want, that you would recommend or prescribe to people in those situations?
For people who are just getting started?
Yeah, somewhere in the like the 1 to 3 month stage.
I would say, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but this whole idea of being organic
mm-hmm.
is that I really think that a lot of newbies, can I use that word?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
it's
newbies,
acceptable.
What they do is they focus on those technical things too much. How many keywords are on a post, how many, you know, search engine optimization, and they're reading and they're absorbing all of these, I guess, technical how-tos that they're losing that organic feel to their posts. Like, I guess when I'm writing and when I'm kind of coming up with content for my site, those things are in the back of my mind. Like, I know I should be repeating certain keywords, or I know that when I link to one of my own posts, I should be highlighting these words, but they're not guiding my content.
Mm-hmm.
And well, a lot of times that I see new people is that they're so preoccupied with getting visitors that they're not focusing on just producing good content, which has to be step one, is you need to have a lot of good content. And my philosophy is the traffic will come. Like, if you have a lot of good things and ideas to share and you're genuine on your blog, the traffic will come, even if you're breaking all the rules. I mean, I'm sure we can probably come up with examples of blogs that are fairly popular that don't follow or subscribe to all of the recommended search engine optimization rules.
Oh, yeah.
We have good content.
Yeah, the poster child of that for website chats is Heather at Deuce.
Right, yes.
Yeah. She's doing every single thing wrong on a technical level. And, you know, I thought she would know this because she's got such popularity and, you know, all this stuff. I thought she would know when I was talking about Alexa rankings and PR, PageRank,
right.
and all of that she'd know what I was talking about. And she's like, I guess I should know. And she started to feel guilty. And I'm like, no, wait, girl, you're already there. You don't have to worry about that stuff. And it was a really good lesson at the time. And you're totally underlining that that is one of the most important things for sure, that people just know that that's there, and but make sure that the content comes first.
Right, like it's good to be aware of it, and like I think I'm, and this is where I think I'm very lucky. I think having my background in technology, to me, all of that stuff, and I may break some rules, I may not be perfect at it, but it kind of comes second nature. Like I know my post should be well formed. You know, I'm doing basic HTML stuff. I'm tagging things. And that comes second nature. So it's kind of easy for me to say to people, oh, just forget about that and just write, you know, organically. So I understand, mm-hmm. but it's almost like you need to teach yourself that. But if it becomes overwhelming, you know, do with what you write what comes to you from the heart. Like, write, you be genuine. I mean, that's really key number one. My second piece of advice would be, and I actually spoke at Bloggers conference in D.C. a few months ago, and I was shocked at this one question I received about trying to get comments on a post. And, you know, somebody, they're like, I write posts and I think they're really good, but no one's commenting. I don't understand why I can't get a comment. I know I have readers. I know I have visitors based on my traffic. And my response was, well, did you ask them to comment? And I think too many people assume that people who read blogs just want to contribute, when I think you need to ask questions. I rarely leave a blog post without an open-ended question at the end. Mm-hmm. And I think the more posts that you have with questions, and it could be something as simple, even if I do a product review, you know, have you guys tried this? What do you think? Or have you seen these in your stores? And I think a call to action like that on posts invites your readers in to contribute, because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a community that have similar interests as them. But if mm-hmm. you don't open yourself up for them to contribute, they may not necessarily know that they can.
Yeah.
You know, everyone sees the leave comment link, but it's so ingrained in us, we skip right over it. But if someone asks a question, you look for the leave comment link because you want to contribute.
Have you ever used Andy Beal's trick from Marketing Pilgrim, where he said he intentionally leaves some things out to allow, so that he doesn't cover 100% of the topic, and he'll leave some room for people to have a reason to comment as well. Like, wait, you didn't talk about this or that, and that's important too, right?
That's too technical for me. That's a neat idea, but I don't think that would pop into my head while I was writing. Because when I'm writing, I'm always like, I have to get all of this out.
Yeah.
You know, share all of this.
I do believe that's a very specific personality trait of a specific kind of blogger, for sure.
Very methodical. I'm literally, I'm the kind of person who writes my posts and it's published in the next 10 minutes. Like, I don't pre-write posts. I don't have them lined up for the next week. Mm-hmm. very organic. I at the end of the day, I sit down, I have my laptop on my lap, and I'm like, here's what happened today, guys.
Yeah, I'm the same
way. And I hit the publish button.
I wonder how many people wish I'd be just a little more methodical.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes I'm, you know, I think I get a little too off the cuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Anything else that you'd want to add to make these early bloggers more excited, more passionate, more ready to go out and tackle this thing?
The only other thing I can think of, and it's, you know, it's that it is still work. And mm-hmm. I think that's a lot, again, for the newbies that come about, and I get a lot of questions, and that's actually why I'm, like, the third blog I'm working on is really a response to me starting to get these blogger kind of questions. And I thought, why am I answering these one-on-one? I need to be answering these in a public forum,
mm-hmm.
so that I don't have to keep answering the same questions over and over again. But I think so many times I get questions like, oh, comments, it must be nice to be able to, you know, make your own schedule, like you said earlier, or work from home, and would you ever go back to working for the man? And it's still work. And so I think if you're going into it thinking, you know, I'll spend an hour a day and I'll write a post and, you know, be able to recoup my salary from the job I just quit,
mm-hmm.
it's really not that easy. And I say that not wanting to deter people, because I think the opposite would happen for the people who are really passionate about what it is that they want to do. I find it utterly I guess, rewarding and just fantastic that if I can make a living for the rest of my life sharing ideas. And
right.
That's what makes me passionate. So if you're the kind of person who will stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning connecting with someone who happens to live on the other side of the globe because they share an interest you do, then this is the field for you. Like, this is what you should be doing. Because I know I spend hours and hours a day just connecting and sharing ideas with people. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what it's all about. I have a niche, you know, and I'm sharing things within that niche. So everyone has their own niche. And if you find that you can talk hours on end about that niche and never run out of something to contribute, then you should be a professional blogger.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? One key to finding out if something really is a legitimate way to do a business online is when somebody constantly or a group of people are constantly bringing up the fact that this is real work. I mean, this is a dedication. This is a profession. And that should excite people because that should tell you you're on the right track right there. That
right.
People aren't trying to say, oh, this is easy. You know, I make all kinds of money at this and all I do is post a couple times a day. And, you know, it's not. And I love it when people just say that because that should actually energize people that this is something, okay, nobody here is afraid of work. They just want to make sure that they're doing something that's actually going to go somewhere, you know, that their
right.
work is going to be rewarded. So obviously yours is being rewarded. And I dare say if you weren't making any money at all yet, you'd still be liking this stuff. You know, it's
well,
not.
I was doing it teaching full time, making, you know, maybe $100 a month on Google
yeah.
ads. And I found myself, I would be, you know, on the campus all day and I would come home and have dinner with my family, and put my son to bed, and I'd be on the computer 8 to midnight,
mm-hmm.
you know, just posting my post or, you know, editing photos from the pictures I took of my dinner. And then that's when I realized I would be doing this if I had a full-time job. So how great would it be if I can actually make this my full-time job? And I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. And that's another thing. I think it's a slow burn. I still do consulting work to make up the salary difference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm a lucky blogger because I can fall back on a technology degree. But I sure don't miss the classroom anymore. And I really look at blogging as, I said this recently too, I don't remember where or who I was speaking to, about why did I quit my job teaching? And I thought, you know what, when I was teaching, I walked into a room of people, you know, 20 people who could care less what I had to say. And I'm really passionate about my, you know, topics. And I'm coming in going, yes, we're going to learn about HTML and JavaScript today. Doesn't that sound exciting? And they're like, yeah, it's great, you know. And I got no energy from that. And it was so draining. It was emotionally draining. Whereas online, when I go, hey, guys, look at this new, you know, whatever I have to share, I am now, quote unquote, teaching to a captive audience. That
yeah, they want to be there.
To
they
hear
cho-
what I, right.
They
and
chose
that,
to be
to
there.
Me, is energizing.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ronnie, man, we probably could go all day. We're just going to have you back, if that's okay with you.
That would be fabulous. I think this is great. I think blogging, and I don't know if you would agree, but blogging is a very lonely field, and a lot of people don't realize that either, is that when you can finally connect to someone who shares your interest in blogging, you kind of want to hold on to that relationship.
Yeah.
Usually I'm in my office all day just kind of by myself, which is why I think Twitter is as popular as it is for us kind of work-at-home people.
Oh, yeah. I believe that's absolutely true. And we tend to try to get in groups whenever possible just because
right.
of that.
Right.
You know, like when this is over, I'll be alone in my office and it'll be baby time. So I'll have to go up and watch the kid and that'll
that's
be
right.
it.
Yeah, I think you join me with having a 3-year-old, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And he cooks a lot too.
It's a fun age though, isn't it?
Yeah. He's a blast. And I love the ability to be able to be here. And I mean, you can't say enough for that. If blogging was 100 times more work and more stressful or whatever, I would still do it just because this lifestyle, it can't be beat. There's all these people dropping
right.
their kids off at daycare or picking them up right now. And they have missed out on all those hours of, you know, time in their kids' lives. And that sucks to me.
Right.
I just, you know, we started that way with him, so I couldn't imagine. You know, he goes out maybe 3 times a week now, so we can have some time. And then after that, whew, it's
yeah,
like, get him home. I want to play with him.
Yeah, we're in that weird, 'cause my husband also works from home. He's a programmer, and we, we still do the daycare thing, but I'm pulling back and back and back on it. But at the same time, I'm like, to respect the job that it is that I have, which a lot of people, again, may not see it as a job, I still need a few hours with no distraction.
Right.
That's another thing people don't realize is that, you know, they're like, oh, it's great. You work from home. You can be around your child all day. I'm like, yeah, but it's kind of hard to write a few-page article.
Right.
With a three-year-old constantly.
Who just loves to come up.
This is me, mommy.
Who loves to come up and just randomly hit a key. Like,
right.
And yeah. I don't know why he so gravitates naturally to control alt, but he does. and that can be really disastrous.
Right. And I refuse to be one of those parents that, you know, plops him in front of cartoons for 3 hours a day so I can get my, I'd rather him be in an educational environment outside of the home while I have to write and then bring him back. And so thankfully TV's at a minimum at our house.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. Everybody can go check out Ronnie's Way. This is a place where you can find all her other sites, and that's RONISWEIGH.com. And possibly even if you spell it wrong, you're still going to get there.
I have to go test that now.
Ronnie, thanks so much, and we will surely be talking to you again soon.
Great, thanks. This was great.